try to be with my spread out of family.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I want to welcome you to our Sunday evening worship services here at the Centerville Church of Christ. Glad to have you with us tonight. We do have a few announcements that we'd like to pass along to you before we begin our worship. Share some good news with you this afternoon. Gracie Orton, the daughter of Lee and Cassidy, was baptized. She was baptized by Brian McAllister, and so we're certainly glad to share that news with you and rejoice with that young lady. Nanette Simmons, her aunt, Donna DeCristofaro, is currently in the ICU in Horizon. She's had a stroke, and so we want to be praying for her in the days ahead. And as we said at the end of our service this morning, our sympathy goes out to the family of Mac Brees, who passed away early this morning. He was a longtime member of our congregation years ago, and certainly a lot of us here knew him well, and so our thoughts and prayers are with his family tonight and in the days ahead. We'll share information on his arrangements on Lifeline, hopefully tomorrow. Tonight, leading in our worship service, our opening prayer will be led by Robert Bowman. Our scripture reader tonight will be Trevor Buchanan. We'll be dismissed in prayer tonight by Gethlyn Garner. Shane will be leading our song service, and Todd will have the lesson for us tonight. Again, thank you for being with us.
Souls to rescue, there are souls to save.
this afternoon and enjoy the singing and the camaraderie they have with one another. May we always be thankful that we live in a community and a church that we can do that. Father, help us all to be Christians that can be known for our good works, that we can show our good works that will glorify God. May we do our best to help others as they're in their needs. Help us to be with those that are needing comfort. Help us to be with the ones that we can need to be with that are in sorrow or pain. Father, I do want to think about people that are in sickness. I think of Mark Chesser, who has to deal with his cancer. I think of Mr. Peterson, Ms. Hudgens, Leslie Hudgens' dad. I think of the other people, the Mears lady, that has problems and really bad problems with cancer. Father, I want to ask you to be with the Mobley family that lost their daughter-in-law to cancer. Comfort them, Father, as they go through this worry and pain that they had to deal with. Father, I want to ask you to be with our country. Let us always be thankful that we live in a country where we can come and worship and be free. Ask you to be with our soldiers that are being sent to Europe. And may there, if possible, be a way that this can be worked out, or that no one would get hurt or killed over the conflict that's now going on over there, as it could be very serious. Father, I want to ask you to be with the church, be with the people that work in the office, that minister to us, that preach, that teach, that do all the things that make a church work. And may we continue to do our effort to help. Father, I ask you to forgive us our sins and help us all to do our best to be Christ-like in our life. And Father, may we always be thankful that Christ was willing to die on the cross to give us the opportunity to be with him in heaven, and to also give us the opportunity to be able to repent of our sins and have our conscience cleared. And may we always do our best to be Christ-like in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
When can the better land be? Thank you.
The scripture reading this evening is from Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
That song that we just sang just a moment ago, to me, it is probably one of the saddest songs that we sing. I enjoy singing it. I enjoy the melody of the song, but it's one of those songs that if you consider the words, it really ought to make you think. It really ought to encourage you to think about what are you doing in your life to make sure that you are letting people know about Jesus Christ. The song itself is kind of a cop-out if you put yourself into the person writing the song who will somehow stand before God and say, well, you know, so-and-so never told me about you. Now, the Bible will tell us that that will be no excuse. But at the same time, the Bible also gives us the warning, as the words of this song would encourage us to do, and that is to make sure that we are telling the people that we come in contact with. Do you ever think of the opportunities that come your way in a day or in a week or in a month that you've been given to spread the gospel? Or to tell someone about Jesus Christ? It's almost like that we're in an age today to where, oh, if I say anything to anybody about Jesus, I'm going to be labeled a fanatic, or I'm going to be picked on a little bit. But God says, you need to tell people about me. And the song is a reminder and an encouragement for us to do that. I want to jog your memory a little bit tonight. Our short time together, the 10 or 15 minutes that we have together tonight. October the 14th, 1987. Now that doesn't seem very long to me. I mentioned that date to Carter in the office of the day, and I said, Carter, where were you on that date? He said, just a thought in my daddy's eye, in my dad's brain. And I realized then how old I am. October the 14th, 1987, Renee and I had just been married. We'd been married a little over a month. So we were adjusting to life as a married couple, both students at Lipscomb and working and trying to make all of that come together and to figure life out, because I was only 21 and she was 19 at the time. Does the date stand out to anybody? Doesn't? It will now. You remember baby Jessica? Baby Jessica was the 18-month-old little girl that fell down a well in behind her aunt's house. And for 58 hours, this little 18-month-old girl, was right side up, but one leg was up in the air and the other leg was dangling down. One leg developed gangrene while she was there. When they got her out, they removed one toe. But for that 58 hours, while this was going on, and they were going to try to drill a tunnel down on the opposite side and go below her, and then come across, and then come up to her. Obviously, they could not come down straight down, or they would have killed her. So for this 58 hours, everyone in America was on the edge of their seat. Do you remember it now? You remember the event, but do you remember what you were doing? I remember very well coming home from work and turning the television on because I wanted to know and I wanted to see what's going to happen to this little baby. You know, this happens all the time. There are things that happen a lot. Maybe you saw the news today where a 5-year-old little boy was trapped in a cave and they tried desperately for 5 days to get him, to get to him, and they couldn't, and he died. But on October the 14th, 1987, as this is happening in Midland, Texas, the world just sort of adopted baby Jessica. The whole world. And they waited, and they waited, and finally word had come that the tunnel had been dug, and they had come across, and they were right below her. They didn't hear any more sounds. And everybody was on the edge of their seat. And then word came that they had reached her and she was alive. And it was like the whole world just stood up and cheered. Because this little girl, for 3 days that we all cheered for and that we all prayed for and that we all watched, she was saved. And we were all very, very happy. Now, I bring this to your attention. I bring this to our mind tonight, those of us who still remember, those of us who were alive when that happened. To make us think about this thought tonight, and then this lesson's going to be yours. If we can get that interested in the welfare of a little girl's physical life, why can't we get just half concerned about the spiritual life of our friends and our neighbors who we know are lost? You see, we revert back to the song, "You never mentioned him to me." Brethren, we've been put here on this earth to go to heaven. We've been put here on this earth to live a faithful life. We've been put here on this earth to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with. And as the world celebrated, and she is alive and well today, she has children of her own, that well has been filled in, she still lives within a mile of that very spot to where baby Jessica captured the attention of the whole world, not just the United States, but of the whole world. And the whole world cheered when she was saved. We think about the idea of having a genuine concern for lost souls. And do we really have that? The first thing that we've got to do when we think about having the Christian concern for lost souls, when we think about that first question, we've got to decide, first off, who are the lost? Who are the people that we should be desperately trying to reach? And you got to understand, first and foremost, that it's important to understand that it's not up to me, and it's not up to you, or it's not up to any man to decide who are the lost. That's a decision that God made. It's unfortunate that too many times in our life when we talk to people about their spiritual well-being and their spiritual condition, that too many times they will give you that remark, well, who are you to tell me that I'm lost? And I'm afraid that some in the brotherhood, some even preachers in the brotherhood, are guilty of coming across in such an arrogant way to where it seems that it's us passing judgment, us determining their spiritual condition, when in fact that it's God who does that. But God has given us the information that we need in Scripture to tell us, who are the lost? You never mentioned them to me. Who are the people that we need to care for? Who are these folks? Who are those who are lost? Well, we could spend a lot of time tonight, maybe next week, and maybe the week after that, looking at biblical definition of who are the lost. Well, let me give you a real quick answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible tells us that those without the gospel are lost. Those who have never obeyed the gospel. We know that Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonians, the 2 Thessalonians, the last chapter, or chapter 1, that God will take vengeance on those who do not know him, and those who what? Do not have the gospel. Those who do not obey the gospel. John chapter 8 and verse 24, there John says that those who are lost are those who have no faith. There are those who have no faith. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, the writer there tells us that those who are lost are those who have never repented after hearing the gospel. There are those that fit that category. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, who are the lost? They are those who reject baptism and who have never put on baptism. They are the lost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, who are the lost? Those who are outside of the Lord's church. Did you hear that one? Those who are outside the Lord's church. When the Lord comes again, he's coming to get the church. Now there is a list, not an exhaustive list, of those that the Bible says are the lost. Those are the people that we ought to care as much about their souls as we would an 18-month-old child dangling or at the bottom of a 22-foot well who had been there for 3 days. All the resources that every nation could give was offered to the United States during this event. There were machinery, there were well digging machinery, mining equipment, the state of the art that you could think of from all over the world was offered to that particular area so that this little girl could be brought out alive. No effort was spared, no amount of money was spared to save this girl's life. Was it worth it? Absolutely. 100%. It was worth it. How much do we spend in trying to save the lost? How much effort do we spend? How much of the resources that are at our fingertips do we use to try to reach the lost? The Christian's concern for lost souls. Secondly, what can we do? All I could do was sit on my couch and chew on my fingernails as I watched this event unfold. All I could do was just give a, you know, and then Renee would come in and say, did you hear? She's alive. That's all that needed to be said. She knew because everybody was watching. But what is it that we can do in our lives? Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher. But what is it that we can do in our lives to bring a lost soul to Christ? Well, let me give you a few of those. First one, let's just live right. Let's just be good people. Let's be good and kind and live a righteous life and that people would see by how we live our life that there's something different about us. Our lives must be lived in such a way that we are an attracting agent to Christ. I remember when bug zappers came out. You remember those? Hang those things on your porch and those lights would come on, and I used to love just sit there and just listen to them fry. Loved it. Why did they, at a young age, Daddy, why are they flying in there? Well, they're coming to the light, son. The light attracts them. You know, your grandmother used to tell you when you were a kid and at night you'd go sit on the front porch, don't turn the porch light on, because we'll be overrun with bugs. And then they came out with the bug zapper, and I couldn't wait to turn all them lights on, kill all them bugs. And then they came out with that fly swatter that was electric. You've seen those? Something about that sound. In the same way, our lives are described in Scripture as a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And you can zap them when they get too close. Our lives should be lived in such a way that we attract people to us. And by attracting them to us, we're attracting them to God. Secondly, sometimes all it takes is to show a little interest in somebody. Oh, I don't want to be labeled a fanatic. Oh, I don't want to be labeled a pest. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be rejected. But sometimes all it takes is just showing a little bit of interest in somebody. I've been reading a lot of statistics about church growth and things like that, and why people, you know, and I'm in the middle of writing this article. You'll see it in a couple of weeks. Of why do you go to church where you go to church? Why are you here? What brought you here? There are numerous answers. Well, that's where my family's already been, has always been, and just different things along that line. But you know what the number one factor that brought you or a family to a particular church? The highest statistical category of all of those things was this: somebody invited me. Somebody invited me. And because of showing just a little bit of interest in someone, that leads them to an opportunity to come to Christ. What can we do? We can live right. We can show a little bit of interest. It leads us to the third question. Why should we even care? Why did we care about baby Jessica? Why do we even care? All the people that stood and cheered and all the money that was sent to this little baby to take care of her for the rest of her life. Would we have cared if she had died? If instead of we're in the process of a rescue mission to save this 18-month-old little girl, what if the news that would have come out would have said 18-year-old girl found dead in aunt's well after falling in and she's been found dead? Well, the anticipation of will there be a recovery wouldn't have been there. Would we have cared? You know, every day people die all over the world. Mass numbers of people die every day all over the world, whether it's some kind of, weather-related catastrophe or what. Do we care? Does it bother us when we hear of somebody dying? You know, our community was just reminded here last week with the family that died in the car wreck that no one knew they were there. Does it hurt? Well, it should. You know, why should we care? Well, the Bible tells us very specifically, you should care because God cares. Every soul God cares about. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, the Lord left his home in glory to come to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. The Lord gave his life that lost souls might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. If we can shed tears for a little girl's physical life saved, should we not be able to weep for lost souls eternally? I think we ought to realize that each and every one of us ought to take it as a personal mission in our life. And that's what God wants us to do. That it's a personal challenge with each and every one of us, that every day that we live, we're going to try to search out somebody that needs to hear the gospel. There's no doubt in my mind that if a little girl or a boy fell into a well here in Centerville, that this community would not rally around and we would wait anxiously and we would cheer when the rescue was complete and they were brought out safe and sound. No doubt in my mind. I've been here long enough to know that the bond that this community has and the love that it has for its neighbor, and that's great. But do we love each other enough to save them spiritually? There's a lot of folks trapped in the well. And a lot of folks trying to dig out of despair. Are we the attractant that they can see? Are we the attractant that they're going to go to find the answers that they need to know to be assured of eternal salvation? When Jessica McClure turned 25 years old, all of that money that was given was put into a trust. She got it when she was 25 years old. And let me encourage you, I'm not going to go over her whole story. A lot like Fred, as she grew up, her mom and dad, who would later divorce, were very vigilant about letting her know her story, what happened to her, how people responded to her. And she wanted to make sure that all of the effort that has gone into saving her as a child didn't go to waste. Wasn't wasted. We should be that way as well. Somebody invested something in us, right? Whether it was your parents, whether it was a preacher, whether it was an elder, whether it was just a good family in the church, somebody invested something into each and every one of us. They saw something in us. The little old lady at my church that when I would sit on the back pew and I would talk and I would whisper during church, who would come up and grab me by the ear and jerk me up out of that pew and make me go down and sit with her during worship, you know, who I hated for the longest time. And then she'd always just set me down beside her and say, "You're going to thank me someday. You know what? I wish I could thank her today because she invested something in me." Something as little as when you're at church, you're at church. You're not here to play. You're here to worship God. Somebody invested something in every one of us. And maybe we should take that same attitude as I'm not going to waste what somebody invested in me. You never mentioned him to me. I don't know a lot about a lot of songs, and I don't know if this is true, and we'll close with this comment tonight, I promise. I was told that that song came about of a young man who had contracted an illness and he's in the hospital and they tell him that he's got hours to live. And a chaplain comes by and talks with him and tells him about Jesus. You still have time. And then a few moments later, his parents come in. And he says to his parents, why? Why in all of my life did you never tell me what this man just told me about Jesus? Why did you never mention him to me? I don't want to be that person in somebody's life. Do you? Let's mention the Lord. Let's be what the church is really supposed to be about. It's not about programs, and it's not about this, or it's not about that. Let's be about saving souls. Let's be about spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let's invest into somebody trapped in sin, trapped in a well, and let's rejoice when they're saved. If we can help you tonight in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting and his grace is found? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Opportunity this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper, you can be dismissed at this time down to the chapel and you will be served there. Shane will lead us in the verse of a song and then we'll be dismissed.
How to reach the masses, man of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key, and
Father in heaven, again we have been blessed to continue our worship on this first day of the week together as we consider the words we sung and the words that we heard in these lessons today. Father, we're thankful for the people in this community that do so much to help others, cancer victims, those who don't have enough food. We're thankful for those in this church who do so much for this community. And Father, we're thankful for my son and his wife who have a foster child who was living on the street and in a car. And they taught her about Jesus. And my son baptized her today. And help me, Father, reach my neighbors, one of whom seems to push me away, and the other one who has shown us interest in learning more about God's word. Be with us as we depart. Help us to do what we can do. We can teach through the mail, by the telephone, or in person, as a friend once said. Be with us this week. May we keep our example so others may see the kind of life that we are living. In Jesus' name, amen.